Hi. I'd like to welcome you to Women Speak, Becoming a Changemaker for Positive Self-Image. I can't believe how filled this room is. I'm the CFO at a company called Sankaty Advisors, which is a credit affiliate of Bain Capital. And I'd like to recognize the Bain Capital Community Partnership, as well as my colleague at Bain Capital, Jonathan Levine, who, through his family foundation, has sponsored hundreds of women today to come to this conference, as he did last year as well. I came here last year, and I just was blown away by the population of really incredible women and incredible speakers, which is what brought me back here today. And I'm delighted I could be here again to support the conference and this session. This session topic is one that is very meaningful to me, and one I think makes a significant impact on your success in whatever you end up doing. I think there's no better asset than how you present yourself, whether in your career or your personal life, and I think that is 100% driven by positive self-image. I would like to introduce our two speakers who will be with us for the next 45 minutes or so, Kristen Jones and Bernie Lim. Kristen is a junior at Howard University in Washington, D.C. She's pursuing a Bachelor of Architecture degree, and she's the co-founder of Women Speak, a girls' health and empowerment program that has gained national attention as via the Clinton Global Initiative, University Commitment to Action, and Brave Life Project by KEDS, 17 Magazine, and Girls Leadership Institute. As a student at Howard, Kristen has served on the College of Engineering, Architecture, and Computer Science Council and is a member of the American Institute of Architects and the National Organization of Minority Architects, for which she holds the position of secretary. And I don't know how you find time to actually go to school. She has volunteered for the United Way, Campfire USA, and Foothill Family Shelter and hopes to help girls find a voice in their communities. In the future, she plans to become a licensed architect and a professor. Bernie Lim is a Stride Scholar and a student at Harvard University studying human biology, women's studies, and global health policy. She is passionate about the intersection of women's health and civil rights. Bernie is the co-founder and executive director of Women Speak, a girls' health and empowerment program that has gained national attention by the Clinton Global Initiative University Commitment to Action and Brave Life Project by KEDS, 17 Magazine, and Girls Leadership Institute. She is also the lead author and editor of the 2014 report on the status of women and girls in Boston, supported by the Boston Foundation and the Boston Office of Women's Advancement. At Harvard, she directed the Women's Policy Group at the Harvard Institute of Politics and founded the Asian American Women's Association. She's received a full scholarship to study abroad in Kenya last summer on girls' health interventions and continues to do global health research at MGH. And Bernie also serves on the National Youth Council for the March of Dimes and volunteers as an advocate for Health Leads. Take it away.
Oh, awesome. So how's everyone doing today?
Everyone good?
Are we excited?
Awesome. Well, first we just want to address that we are not anti using your phones during this session. We know that, you know, sometimes when you go to sessions, you're really inspired by what someone says, and you kind of want to write that down. And sometimes you want to tweet it, you want to snap it, you want to Instagram it, you want to Facebook it. So we totally encourage you to use this hashtag, basically quote whatever you want, take pictures during our presentation. We aren't opposed to it, and we won't find it rude.
Yeah, and please tag us so we can kind of see what you guys are doing and just to join us in on your excitement.
And we're really in for a good laugh, too, so no worries about that. And that was an awesome introduction. Thank you so much. And while we do have all of these accolades as college students, in reality, we are 4 years older than you, and only 4 years older.
It's not that big of a difference. So
we definitely know what a lot of you are going through. And to be honest, we are still
going through it.
We're still going through
still
it,
going
and
through
we're
it.
Still Snapchatting stories as much as all of you, and we're still
on Instagram
just as much as you. So to start off this presentation, we're doing another poll. Hopefully, it works this time. Who can help us with this poll? So the question is, What percentage of women in the world believe that they are beautiful? So you basically text the percentage you think to the code 22333. What percentage of women in the world believe that they are beautiful? We'll give it about one more minute.
Get your answers in quick.
And you cannot vote more than once. So okay. Is everyone basically finished? We'll close this poll.
Is everyone good? Yeah.
We'll have other opportunities as well. So from this poll, we see that within this room, two people believe that 65% of women in the world believe that they are beautiful. 16 people believe 35%. The majority believe 10%, and only 4 people think that 1%. But according to a Dove study in 2014, the reality is that only 1% of women in the world believe that they are beautiful. All right, so this is going to just be a really short story about my encounters with women in the media, girls in the media. And I approached this topic as a writer from 17 Magazine. So this is me as a freshman. I'm Bernie, I'm from Los Angeles, California. When I was a freshman, I was very cognizant and really kind of insecure of how I looked. And it was nothing really serious in terms of me having an eating disorder, being very glued to images in the magazine, but my mom always told me that my naturally wavy hair was really ugly and that I should straighten it. So every single day, woke up at 6 a.m. before school, me and Kristen went to high school together, we went to an all-girls school, and I straightened my hair every single day. And let's be honest, at an all-girls school, who are you supposed to actually impress? But that was the reality of it. Me straightening my bangs. And I was really shy, and Kristen can attest to this.
She was.
No one really knew me as a freshman. I was really into my books, and there's a hair straightener. but one thing was a reality, and that was that 17 Magazine and Teen Vogue were, for some reason, my teen Bibles at your age. I subscribed every single month to both of these, and I like cut out pictures, and I had this fashion magazine that I still have for 2 years, and it goes all the way back from like when flip phones started to get out of style and we have the little keyboards now, to going from like crop tops to all these like different prom dresses. So you'll definitely see that I was very adamant about keeping this fashion journal based on these two magazines. And how many people here actually still read 17 Magazine? Teen Vogue, and then does anyone want to shout out any other magazines they read, or
go for it?
Great, Tiger Beat.
Okay, anyone else?
Double XL.
very great. So while many of you may not have read 17 Magazine or Teen Vogue, the reality is that there are a lot of magazines that kind of do the same thing. They give girls advice on how to dress, on how to approach school, how to approach beauty, how to approach professionalism, how to approach love life, and a lot of the latest trends. So fast forward to senior year, and there was this awesome opportunity called the Freshman 15 as part of 17 Magazine. And basically what you do is you apply to document your freshman year, and they pick 15 freshmen throughout the whole country of the United States to write about their freshman year. And so I applied, and I got it. And it was really awesome. And so I was going to be a freshman at Harvard, and in my application, I wrote things like, I love fashion, but most of all, I think my aspirations really lie in being a doctor
in helping people. In high school, I was really involved in a lot of community service and volunteerism, and I found that really important to who I was. So about 80% of my application was like, look, this is me. This is me wanting to help people through the medical profession. And I especially found a lot of inspiration in helping women and girls since I came from an all-girls school. And so I also inserted that. But they also asked for fun things like what were your hobbies and things like that. And I said, I really enjoy watching TV. I love Sex and the City. I love writing. I love blogging. I also love reading 17 Magazine. And it would be a really, really interesting transition going from an all-girls school to Harvard University, which is 50% male, 50% female. And that's basically all. I put in my application, and I got it. But when I got the position, it wasn't what I thought it would be. This is what happened on Google right after I was accepted. If you look on Google today and type in my name, Bernadette Lim, 17 Magazine, you'll see Bernadette is pre-med, being she wants to be a doctor, and can't wait to mingle with all the boys at Harvard. It's totally okay, I laughed at it. And this is my profile that you can actually still find on the 17 Magazine website. And it says, coming from an all-girls school, Bernadette can't wait to meet all the boys at Harvard University, especially the baseball team. A pre-med major, she's a total smarty, blah, 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 who plans to use her brain, and she loves a good Sex and the City marathon. So, as you can see, and as I told you, in the whole application, I outlined, look, I got into Harvard, and it was one of the most amazing things in my life, on a full scholarship to be a doctor. And I wanted to write because I wanted to inspire girls. And I knew that so many girls read 17 Magazine because they just yearned for advice on how to be more than that. And I wanted to write my column on women's issues, on volunteering, on everything I wanted to be involved in college. Anything but mingling with boys at Harvard University. But what I realized is that this framing of me and this one sentence that's found on Google is not just an isolated incident to me. See this every single day in all of our magazines. Why is it that women are constantly sexualized and seen to be at the attention for guys? Why is it that our accomplishments are downplayed at the expense of being sexy, at the expense of mingling with the boys? In this slide, you can see that over the course of the years, the focus of 17 Magazine has actually went from the person, aka the face, to the body. And in July 2014, this was the cover of 17 Magazine. And a lot of you may be older and not read it, but imagine what your sister or your younger sister or your younger cousin sees when she sees this as the cover of 17 Magazine. What does she see as the importance of herself to others? And so when 17 Magazine asked me to write these columns, they would ask me, hey, Bernie, you should write about, you know, your first date during college, different makeup tips, different outfits that you wear in the cold, even if you want to impress guys. And I was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. And I actually had the leeway to really write about what I wanted to. So some things I wrote about were Women's Week at Harvard, the goals for my second semester, how to be more confident in 2013, and exploring new interests. And this was really important to me because a lot of the rest of the Freshman 15 panel wanted to write about different things. And I really wanted to write about what I was interested in and what was important to me and what the media failed to really illustrate about the power of young women and girls instead of just our bodies. And yes, our bodies are really beautiful, but we are so much more than that. We are so much more than that. We have our passions, we have our interests, and we should have an outlet to actually express that. So when you look at the media today, I really would encourage you to ask why. Why is it that on the same magazine, the pictures of men from Rolling Stone exemplify and actually illustrate their success as people? And why is it that on the same magazine of Rolling Stone, women are actually sexualized, and these amazing actresses, Megan Fox, Jennifer Aniston, and what's her name?
Janet Jackson.
I knew it was Jackson. Why is it that their amazing accomplishments as actresses and musicians can actually be downplayed at the expense of men? And so, as just a funny, how would it look if men actually posed the same as women? Kind of ridiculous, right? And there are a few figures that I really would encourage you to think about. I think one of the most important figures of our day, if you can't deny, is Beyonce.
Queen Bey.
She is Queen Bey. But, and as she is one of the most powerful women of our day, but never feel pressured to live up to what she has set out for girls. Be you. And a lot of times, you know, we see Beyonce and you're like, wow, I wish I could dance like her. She has an amazing body. And really, she works it. But that's her. So what's you? And now we're going to transition over to Kristen.
Okay, wasn't she amazing? I think she's amazing. Okay, so I'm going to need 6 volunteers. All right. Burns, help me pick them. You. Pink scarf in the back. Mm-hmm. These two right here. The you can come too. You, and right here in the blue. That's 6, right? Am I at 6 or am I at more?
What?
Does she?
Oh, you should have told me that. I'm sorry.
Okay, so can you guys go to the mic, please? Is this 6 or more? Oh my God, this is more than 6. All right, well. All right, get the. All right, so, okay, so I have 2 questions for you. 1, when you were in elementary school, what did you want to be when you grew up? A doctor, okay. Wait, does that mic work?
Wait.
Okay. And right now, is that the same? Do you still want to be a doctor?
I want to be a registered nurse.
Okay. All right, cool. Okay, I have a little something for you, too. You can come up here. Thank you. She's got that. So, next. Okay, what did you want to do when you were in elementary school? And
okay, so when I was in elementary school, I wanted to be a pediatrician.
Okay. Is that the same?
No.
No, okay.
And now it's between a businesswoman or just health, like human services.
Okay, great. I also have something for you. She's got that.
Ooh.
That's a good hello. Catch. Yeah.
Hello?
Be a football player. Okay, go ahead. In elementary school, what did you want to do?
I wanted to be a doctor when I was in elementary school.
Okay, do you still want to be a doctor today?
No, I want to be a fashion designer now when I grow up.
Okay, awesome. She's got you. Next.
Elementary or middle school?
In elementary, specifically.
Okay, in elementary school, I wanted to be a basketball player, like a pro, but I didn't want to be in the WNBA. I wanted to be in the NBA. I wanted to be like the first woman.
I respect it. You better go. Yeah. Still room for you, right? And now what do you want to do?
I want to be 2 things.
Okay.
I want to be an artist, but okay. I also want to be like I want to be a pharmacist, so I want to be the person that like finds the cure for like cancer, AIDS, something big like that.
About a good girl.
So when I was in elementary school, I wanted to be either a pop star or a model, and now I want to be a doctor or a researcher.
Awesome.
When I was in elementary school, I wanted to be a fashion designer, and now I want to be a nurse practitioner.
Awesome. Is that it? Do we have any more?
One more.
Kristen, I got you, girl.
I was like, how do you know my name?
You told me. I remember things.
Hello. In elementary school, I wanted to be an astronaut.
Awesome.
And today, I just want to figure out what I want to do.
And that's fine. Oh, wait, we got something for you, Kristen. Yeah. Okay. So you may be wondering why I asked that. So my piece is a little different than Mern's, but it's basically on when I was in elementary school, I wanted to be a lawyer. Why? No idea. Probably saw it on a TV show and was like, oh, that sounds cool. And she was probably pretty or something, so I was like, let's do that. Someone was like, do you know what that does? I mean, the law, right? So fast forward to a few years, I am in school studying architecture. Now, the law wasn't something that really interested me at all. It was just cool. Like, I thought that was a good career to get into, and, you know, it was pretty successful. So in that, I found, you know, in elementary school, you're surrounded by so many different things and different people, and it's not really based on what you are as an individual. It's based on what you see. So in elementary school, kids are mean, and I can attest to the fact that girls are mean, boys are mean, everyone, you know, for me, it was rough. School was rough. But, you know, academically, I did okay, so that was the one thing that was going well. And, you know, the social scene was a little different for me. So with that came low self-confidence, because people, you know, girls are mean, so they tell you, oh, that's ugly, like, don't wear that anymore. And so that was really difficult for me to kind of go to school with and deal with on a day-to-day basis. So with that said, I discovered some of my passions, and that was something that I looked into. So I was really good at business as a kid. I ran a few businesses. I had a gift wrapping business. Yeah, that's actually still on and popping. And I also did bookmarks. Do you guys remember the Space Maker pencil boxes? Do you guys remember them? Okay, so my business was bookmarks. And what you had to do is, like, you know the, like, space maker in the middle? Like, you color it with, like, a marker. Then you put, like, Elmer's glue on it, and you wait for it to dry. And if you take it off, it's like a bookmark, right? The thing I didn't think about was it was summer, and the girl put her bookmark in the book, and it melted. It was really awkward. And she was like, what? I was like, bye! Like, it was just, you know. And my mom was like, maybe you should have thought about that before. And I was like, oh, yeah. So that kind of helped me to think about the negatives as well as the positives in business. So that's just kind of a little bit of my background in business. How I got into architecture, architecture is kind of, it's a business as well as art and science. So those are all things that really interested me. And in elementary school, I loved drawing and I loved art, and that was like my happy place. So to this day, architecture is still, like, I mean, while finals are happening and everything, that's still something that is my very much my happy place. And I just encourage you guys all to find something that is your happy place. While there are people telling you what you're supposed to be doing, your parents have a say, and, you know, sometimes they do. Sometimes you should do what you want to do. Because I'm not saying, you know, go against your parents. If there are any parents in here, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you should really go for your own goals. Like, if you're like, if I really, like, wanted to be a lawyer, I would have, you know, maybe, like, met with a lawyer and really, like, shadowed her or followed something to just kind of get more involved in the career and really understand what it was like. But that wasn't something that interested me. So that wasn't something I did. But business was something that interested me. Architecture was something that interested me. So to this day, I'm still shadowing architects and business people, and that's just something that interests me so, so much. So with that, I just encourage you guys all, like, we are at this transitional, I include myself, because high school is a transition phase, okay? So you're not quite grown, but you're almost there. So really understanding that, you know, you're with your parents, you got to listen to your parents, you got to do well in school, you got to do everything they're saying, as well as your extracurriculars, and right now you guys are trying to get to college. So that's a whole different situation as far as making things and doing things. And I also encourage you guys not to just do things for your college resume. Like, a lot of people are just like, ooh, that looks good for the resume. And it's like, people can tell when you're being fake, because it's like, your things have to add up. Like Bernie was saying, she did a lot in the medical field, so she volunteered with medical people and that whole situation, but that was something that interested her. So don't just be like, it's okay to like explore your options, but have reasons why you're exploring these options and make sure that they're options you really like to consider. So for when I was in high school, I wanted to be a doctor for a little bit. It wasn't a long thing, but I took bio and I was like, this is not going to work. But it's definitely something that, you know, your classes, they'll be, some of them will be interesting, some will be, I think Bernie and I had bio together, actually. We did. Okay. Sorry. But definitely focus in your classes and make sure, like, your classes are something to get you interested. Like, by taking bio, I understood that we did not get along. That was not something, that was not my calling. So really, in your classes and in school, make sure that you're taking things that really excite you and interest you. And even if it's not offered at your school, I encourage you guys to look outside. There's a lot of extracurricular programs. I was involved in a few of them that, over the summer, you have, they have, like, week or month-long camps, and you go, and there's, like, medical programs, there's law programs, there's architecture programs, business programs, all of the above. So in addition to, you know, your search for really discovering who you are and what you want to do with your life, because right now it seems like, okay, you guys are trying to, like, make me figure out what I'm going to do for the rest of my life, and I can't even figure out what I'm going to do tomorrow. So it's really, it's a learning process for everyone. So I just encourage you guys all to take your time. No one's rushing you. Maybe your parents might be. But other than that, you really, this is the rest of your life. So it's important that you really do something that's really meaningful to you. And in high school, I did a lot of extracurriculars, not so much in high school. In high school, I wasn't really, like, out there. I was more quiet, and I did what I wanted to do, and that was that. So fast forward a few years to college. It was something that really stood out to me as far as, you know, getting involved in my community. I'm from California, so I went to school in Washington, D.C., and that in itself was a transition. But we both are from California. We went cross country to go to school, and I encourage you guys to do that. While it's very scary, like, I will be the first to tell you it is very scary, you really grow a lot. You grow so, so much, and you really understand, you know, I have better relationships with my parents, actually, because, you know, it's not, you don't see them every day, and so when you guys do talk, or you guys FaceTime, or whatever, it means a lot. So a lot of people are like, how could you send your kid all the way across the country because, you know, you're going to miss them? But sometimes it's the best thing for them. Sometimes people have to go and grow. So if any of you guys are thinking about, you know, college across the country, California is beautiful, BT-dubs. So I would encourage you, just definitely come out of your element and be comfortable in who you are and what you want to do. So another thing is explore different colleges and really really get a feel for the college. Now, I would say visit if that's within your means, because, you know, Google Maps can only do so much for you, and the school website can only do so much. It's a completely different atmosphere when you get to the campus and really understand things. And I went to Howard because I got a full scholarship, so that was number one. Two, it was definitely a different change. I went from, you know, an all-girls school to an all-black school. So that right there was in itself quite the transition for me personally, but I was surrounded by so many different people that were really looking out for me and are really still interested in what I'm doing. So I would also encourage you guys to look at student-teacher ratio, because that's also important, especially like if you're away at college, it's important to have a mentor or a teacher or someone who can really look out for you and understand what you're doing and just have a check-in partner. Excuse me. So another thing I would just like to say is, so in your quest to really be discovering who you want to be, look, like Bernie said, really look at who you are as an individual. If that's not who you are, don't make it someone you are. Like Beyonce, I love Queen B, but at the end of the day, I can't do half the things that she does. And I, you know, I'm gonna stay in my lane and she's in hers. So that's also another thing, like stay in your lane. Don't worry about like what your friends are doing. I remember the day Bernie got into Harvard and so many, like I was like one of the first people she told and I was so excited for her. Like I was I got into Harvard, that's how excited I was. And everyone, you know, there were some people that were like, oh man, they were so jealous. And I'm like, why are you jealous? Like, I'm so happy for her. Like, she's one of my best friends. So, you know, in a competitive atmosphere like high school is, and this whole application process and really understanding, that's the one thing that you really can't control. Getting into the colleges and you can control where you apply, but after that, it's not in your hands. So really apply to places that you want to go to. And be okay, like know your range. So there are like hundreds of schools. So I think that you should really find something that fits for you, as well as, you know, your family life, and because they have parents weekends and stuff like that. So that's also something that you need to look for. But final note I would say is, in this quest to really discovering who you are, be sure you stay true to who you are and what you want to do. Don't let anyone tell you any different, and just stick to what you know. So thank you.
Hello. Okay, awesome. And we just wanted to kind of end this session. We're going to show a quick video and then do a little poll and then Q&A. It's a lot, actually.
Yeah. Okay, but basically,
am I on? We also wanted to outline the kind of the title of this presentation. It's called Women Speak. And you heard kind of in our bios that we are the co-founders of Women Speak.
Yeah, so basically Women Speak is, there were four of us, me, Bernie, our friends, Anna and Danielle, and we all went to high school together. And we, in college, we kind of noticed a few injustices, and we were going to bring this to college campuses, and then we realized it starts way before college. So we held our first summit this summer for high school girls in Los Angeles, and our four mission areas are promoting positive body image, establishing healthy relationships, becoming a leader in your community, and
deconstructing gender stereotypes.
That's it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what our organization is based off of, and we're going to show you a quick video.
A quick video, and just to also add how we founded this, like, to be honest, we founded Women Speak in a coffee shop, and that's going to sound really ridiculous, but, you know, the summer after sophomore year in college, we gathered in the coffee shop when we came back home, and we were talking about our college experiences, and we kind of had this commonality of, hey, like, I was the only girl that was raising my hand in the college classroom. Or like, hey, that guy was totally catcalling me when I was like walking down this main avenue in college. And then we realized, wow, these like injustices are actually happening. And what started in the coffee shop with seriously coffee and a bunch of post-it notes all over the coffee shop came into a leadership summit with over 100 girls in Los Angeles. We got retweeted by Chelsea Clinton, yes, which was awesome, and favorited
by Jessica
Alba.
We're
going to
see our mama today, too. Woo, woo.
I know. And now we were invited to speak in New York City, and now we're at Mass Conference, and we're being asked by so many people, how do we bring Women Speak, the concept of it, to our college campuses and high schools. So this is just to really emphasize that we are only 4 years older than you, and really, if you have an idea, just do it.
Do it.
Do it.
I would say do it. And if you're afraid, like, definitely get a group of people, but get a group of people that respect you and are really, like, because, you know, girls, we got emotions, a lot of them. So we've definitely had our disagreements, we'll call them that. But be sure, you know, we respect each other. So that's so important. Like, you know, even if I don't agree with what she says, I'm like, okay, I respect it. And that's key. So I would encourage you, if you have an idea, do it, and definitely have people behind you who support you 100%.
Yeah, and even if you don't have an idea, right, like,
in my presentation and in Kristen's, right, there were times when we just felt angry and like really confused, like, why is this happening? You know it's not right. It doesn't feel right in your gut. And you don't have to have an idea, but the fact that it bothers you should be a signal as to like, huh, this needs to change, and how do I make it change? So we're just going to show a video of our summit.
Yeah, this is a video of our summit.
Chelsea loved it. Chelsea
yeah,
Clinton loved
she loved it.
It. We're bragging.
And we just wanted to let you guys know that even though we're in college, we're 2 years older, like, we're super cool. I mean, we're not here to talk at you. This is going to be very interactive. This is not something where, like, we have everything together and then we're going to tell you amazing life-changing advice that's going to change the direction of your relationships.
Reaffirming the fact that we think beauty is everything. So I don't talk about a lot of gender. I don't talk about a lot of gender roles. I talk about a lot of humanity roles. I speak only as a person. I don't speak as a woman of color. I don't speak as a woman. I speak as a human being, because I believe that feminism is not just the celebration and protection of women's rights. It's the celebration of equality for human beings. So if in fact you're going to apply for a job, there's no reason that you are not as qualified as the man sitting next to you. Does that make sense? So feminism, for me, coming up now in this time where like everything is going so fast and technology is so rampant, is a human. It's a human thing. It's really not a woman thing.
And I can't be found, 'cause I start to get weak.
So that was just a little recap of our summit. Our keynote speaker for our summit was Azure Antoinette, who is amazing, and you guys should definitely check out some of her videos. She did a few TED Talks, and
and as part of the Women Speak mission also, we pair high school students with college mentors, and we not only talk about, you know, college apps and that really important stuff, but also more important stuff, which is how is it like being a young woman in today's society, and how can we create a support system for you as high school girls to really connect with older women who have been in your place?
So, well, so this is our last poll. What would you do if you weren't afraid? So text the number and your message. You know, that's fine.
Real.
That's fine. Eat, yeah. Oh, God. I know, I was like, oh, my gosh. Okay, you can quit your job. That's fine. Not Ebola. What? Who said Ebola? Okay, so that was our last poll. We hope you guys enjoyed our speeches, and we just want to thank you guys so much for being here with us today.
One very quick story to tell you all from the old women that you should become friends with. I'll speak for them. So we're in the year 2014, and I've been working for 18 years in the professional environment for 18 years in a mainly male-dominated industry. And earlier this year, I was on an email chain. Some people on the chain were people that I work with directly within my company, and there were a few people that were from, it happened to be from a bank that we used to do work for us. And the rest of the people on the email chain were men. And I hadn't met any of the men that were on the email from the company that wasn't ours. And we were going back and forth, and people were trying to decide whether we needed to meet on a particular topic. And one of the men from the company, not my company, from the other company, emailed and made an assumption that because I was the only woman on the email, that I was the secretary. And in reality, from a seniority perspective, I was the most senior person on that email. And so he wrote, "Sally, could you please organize," and you know, gave the points and the time. And that was one of those situations, and I think one of you mentioned it before, it's like, you have to be you. You cannot back down from that. When someone says something where you're like, you're wrong, you say they're wrong. Like, I know what I did to get to where I am today, and you can't have anybody tell you that you're not you. So keep that up and form these relationships, because relationships with your peers like this are really important. Bernie and Kristen, I think you guys are awesome, incredible, really great. And I hope everybody took notes, because this is what you should become. So, thanks. Yeah. We have a couple minutes now where we can do a Q&A. So people come to the microphones. Is that how we do it? So yeah, I guess we could line up at the microphones.
Hello. And enjoy Hillary, guys. And Lupita, we are so excited as well.
What? Is it?
Hello?
Yes.
Sorry, my voice is messed up. I've been fighting a cold. My name is Erica Butler. I work for the City of Boston. I do the Girls Initiative for the mayor. And I just want to say I commend you for inspiring girls. This is what I teach my girls. We do a lot with the city and different things. But this is ultimately our goal, is to make sure that they think and explore and think out the box. So I just want to give you another round, because I think that this is awesome. And I appreciate it.
So I have a question for, is it Sally? What was your response to the email?
So I took a couple of deep breaths, because I didn't want my response to include an expletive. And so I wrote back and explained who I was, and then said, we can coordinate through, actually, his secretary. And, you know, let me know if he has any questions. And he wrote me an email back, like, so incredibly embarrassed. And that when I met him in real life, was still so embarrassed. And I was like, you should always be embarrassed. I mean, this guy was, maybe he was 40 years old, right? So in the grand scheme of things, not very old. Like, really should be over that. And so, yeah, I made sure he knew that.
Hi, I'm Sam. I go to Lincoln Sudbury High School. And my question for you guys would be, how would I get a program like yours involved at my school?
So we're actually working on offshoots for high school. So
come to my school.
What'd you say?
You should come to my school.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We can give you cards and stuff, but we're working on what are they called?
High school chapters?
Yeah. No. The packet.
Toolkits,
that's it. For establishing a high school chapter. So definitely come talk to us, and we'll get you that information. So,
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Be careful.
Hi, I'm Natalie Fernandez from Lawrence High. And I wanted to know, you guys said you guys were in the coffee house when you came up with this big idea. Like, what was that one thing that made you guys think, like, oh, we need to do a change?
I don't know. Like, it was a lot of things at once.
Honestly, that summer was also, like, hashtag struggle bus for all of us.
All of us.
Like,
no, I was hashtag struggle bus driver. Like, that was me.
even in college, you really question yourself, what do I really, really like? And to be honest, I don't know if, you know, nonprofits, women's activism is, like, our main goal. But, like, at that point, we had a lot of time. We had a team that was just
on the same page.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think another thing that really like helped us solidify it was just discussing our experiences in college. Like, I'm in a pretty male, no, not pretty, a male-dominated field in architecture, and a lot of times in class, you know, they'd ask, you know, oh, what's the answer? And I'd be like, oh, what's this? And they're like, okay, wait, John, what's the, and I'm like, no, I know the answer. And so that was a lot of our, it was very similar in those instances because, you know, as women, we weren't taken seriously. And, you know, one of our other founders was in a science class, in a chemistry class or something, and someone, you know, asked to help with that. And they were like, no, let's ask Tim, you know. Yeah. So it was definitely like all those injustices wrapped in one and really understanding our purpose.
I think it's just like also a collective realization like, oh, we all feel really, really impacted by the same thing. And we kind of don't know what to do yet, but we're gonna try this thing together. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hi. We're from Girls Radio. Oh. And we're located in Dorchester, and what we do is like kind of what y'all are doing.
Okay.
We came together because a lot of girls in Dorchester felt like we was portrayed badly in like the media, and we wanted girls like us to just have a voice and speak out.
Yeah.
But we was thinking, can we talk to you guys later?
Of course.
Yes,
of course.
I love the work you guys do.
Yeah.
Huh? I've definitely heard and seen the work that Girls Radio has done. So cool. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely come talk to us after. We're open for anyone who wants.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Julia. I have a question for Bernie.
Yes.
You said you go to Harvard, right?
Yeah.
And I've heard about like a lot of like bad things about the rape culture at Harvard.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about that / what are you doing about it?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I don't know, it's not just Harvard. I mean, Harvard is not good.
Yeah.
And to be honest,
All schools aren't.
And I'm sure many of you have heard of like the Columbia campaign with the girl who's carrying a mattress to all of her classes to signify how even though she has been a victim of rape, the person who has assaulted her was not expelled or even put under any punishment by the school. And that's very true for Harvard. At Harvard, I've definitely talked to a lot of people where people who have been raped, sexually assaulted, their assailant was simply not, it was kind of like a slap on the wrist, like, okay, you move here, instead of like, this is an actual crime, and what am I doing about it? So I think what I'm doing about it is I'm not very involved in the rape, sexual assault campaigns on campus, but one thing I do is that I educate myself on where Harvard is failing its students. And as we can see, Harvard is the only Ivy League school that doesn't have a positive consent policy. And what that means is that we have a negative consent policy, meaning that the woman has to say no before sex, whereas the other Ivy Leagues, they have a positive consent policy in which the two people that are engaging in sex have to say yes. And that's not Harvard's policy. And how wrong is that? And so learning about all of this, I think the first way that I'm like trying to make a difference is learning about it because I wasn't educated about it. And that goes for a lot of issues.
Hi, my name is Nala. And my question is, you talked about how you had a support system and people like were really ready to get on board with what you wanted to do. But I go to Boston Latin Academy, and that's we're an exam school, so everything's education, education, education. There's no room for extracurricular activities as much as I believe that there should be. And when I tried to start like something similar to like empowering girls like more on the physical side and introducing how health is very important, mm-hmm. it was shut down. It was like, no, we're getting accredited. No, we can't do that right now.
Yeah.
And like, since they didn't support it, all my efforts and all I wanted to do is just like shut down. And like, how do you get someone to support you, or like, how do you get a team behind you if no one's willing to do it?
Yeah, go for it.
So you were trying to do it through the school?
Yeah, because I feel like the Lincoln Sudbury, like I feel like in a lot of Boston public schools, they don't have that, a place where a woman could go. It's just like, mm-hmm. you come to school and do your work. If you do bad, that's it. That's your problem. So like, I wanted something like that in my school, mm-hmm. so I tried to do it myself, and they mm-hmm. said no. And I bet if we try to even get you guys to come there, be like, they'll sit, come up with some excuse to be like, no, yeah. it can't happen. So I don't yeah. get, like, being in the city, like, why is it so difficult for there mm-hmm. to be an outlet for women in yeah. school? If school is where you're supposed to learn, where you're supposed to have that support system. If you don't have that home, then why can't it be in school? Like, I just want to know, yeah. how can I get yeah. someone to support?
Yeah. Yeah. Audra efforts and really, yes. like, everything that you're
second
doing.
Second applause for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no, seriously, like, that, like, way to be on top of everything. A lot of people can be very discouraging about things like that. So I would just say, like, if there was another outlet you can go, like, not through the school, maybe you get, you know, you start a club and just have it, not, like, through the school, but, like, you guys meet at, like, a public library or something like that, and maybe use the school for your audience, but don't go through the school, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So just make the school an advertising place, and if you have friends, like, make sure they spread the word, and make sure the word's around, but not have it, like, maybe find a different outlet to host everything if the school is not willing to yeah. host for you.
I think the reality is that, like, the school, like, I know it's frustrating, and we were thinking about, oh, should we do it through our high school? And we said no. We're going to be, like, really independent. Yeah. And the schools are, I think they're just, like, they're built on bureaucracies.
They're institutions.
And institutions, and, like, you can't change that. So you make your own thing. And like Kristen said, finding another outlet, you don't need the school. You have a brilliant idea, you have brilliant drive, and, like, let that be your motivation to find a group of people who are like-minded with you and start that group. I think another really powerful thing is finding a group. You can't do yeah. it alone. Like, really.
Yeah, no, teamwork makes the dream work.
Yeah.
So,
thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That's our motto.
We'll take you guys, you two last, and then, like, if you guys have any additional questions, comments, or concerns, we'll just be hanging around, so please just come talk to us.
I'm playing music.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Go ahead.
My name is Nina. I'm a senior at Amherst Regional High School in Western Massachusetts.
Okay.
First off, I'd just like to say thank you so much. This is more of an advice than a question. We have a women's rights club at our high school, and it's been my favorite part of high school, like, completely. It's been something I've devoted a lot of time and energy to. And it's been an incredible experience. Our club has just grown and grown from, like, 10 people to, like, over 40 now.
Awesome.
And just for people who are interested in founding a club, we'd be happy to talk to you about what we do in our club. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of what Women Speak is doing. We have done, last year we did a whole unit on media literacy and women in the media, and yeah. we presented to our school. And we've had, different than some people, we've had really good administration relations, and our school's been really supportive of what we've been doing. But even without administrative support, I think something that's great is just even getting together inside or outside of school and talking. We've talked about everything from, you know, what's happening on college campuses and consent mm-hmm. and the media literacy and body image and just the real range of women's issues.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of great organizations to partner with, and
yes,
just so many opportunities for people who want to talk about it. So even if your school's not necessarily supporting you, I think there's a lot of people who care about this. Mm-hmm. care about women's rights, and mm-hmm. even in this room, other resources we have each other, and we have a lot of opportunities to make change.
Definitely. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Natasha. I'm a senior. I'm just small. I had a general question about, like, your experience going to an all-girls school. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I was looking at, like, colleges and all-girls colleges, I was thinking about, like, whether it's, like, a really comforting environment, like the one we're in now, or whether, like, it'd be kind of hard for me to, like, go into the workforce not being, like, in a maybe, like, real-world environment kind of with both genders present. So I was just wondering, like, how you guys felt, like, going into, like, co-ed education.
Go ahead.
I loved my transition, yeah. and I think that going to an all-girls school really helped me find confidence in myself, because at an all-girls school, the girls are the leaders, the girls are the smart people, the girls are the brainiacs, they're the ones raising their hands, and the fact that you have that comfort and drive already at such a young age helps you when you
and
go
that
to
transition.
College.
And I feel like once you can deal with women, you can deal with anybody. Like, really understanding, you know, because
that's true.
You know, working with, yeah. I would say the same thing. Like, it really helped with self-esteem and just, you know, all your classmates were, you know, women, and there was nothing that was too embarrassing to talk about or anything like that. Like, you weren't ashamed to say anything.
Yeah. All girls' colleges as well will give you that foundation. Like, if you haven't experienced that, then, like, that can be a really good experience. And I never want to, like, give a negative experience to all girls' school. Like, we had, like, all girls' schools have this reputation for having a lot of drama. Like, there's not a lot of drama if you don't involve yourself in the drama.
Yeah, like, if you don't want drama, don't be in drama.
So, like, Wellesley, Hillary Clinton went to Wellesley, and she's awesome. So, and all girls' schools also, they just give you that environment, just like HBCUs do, and it's, I recommend it.
Yeah, I would too.
Thank you.
Guys, so much for the opportunity for speaking with you guys. And if you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, anything, we're going to be hanging around, so you can come talk to us or tweet, Instagram, whatever. Thank you.
Thank you so much.